Welcome to the Retail Tech Podcast. My name is Darius Wasefi, producer and host. And in this podcast, I typically speak with the movers and shakers involved in retail and e-commerce, all parts of commerce, as we call it these days. This interview is on Clubhouse, and it's being recorded. We're going to take audience questions after our first set of questions, maybe the first half an hour. You know, after that, if anybody has questions, they can come up and ask questions from Luke, our guest. Today, I'm speaking with Luke Wang, founder and CEO of a company called Shorefront, which is in the product lifecycle management space. How are you today, Luke?
Very good. Yes, thank you for having me.
Thank you for taking the time and joining me. So I did a very brief overview, but I'm sure there's a lot more to your background. So why don't we start by, you maybe telling me about your background and how you got to actually start Shorefront.
All right. I'm Luke Wang, CEO of Shorefront. We are an enterprise software company based in Los Angeles in the retail industry, supply chain industry. I founded the company about 5 years ago to solve my personal challenge. I'm an entrepreneur, and investor, and somehow I dive into the retail industry by being the owner, of a home furnishing company and also e-commerce sporting goods company. It is by operating those companies that I realized there are some problems in retail space that I could personally solve. One of the problems is really the collaboration between suppliers, retailers, across different companies. The in the collaboration is really decade old. Emails, attachments, Excel, PDF, which are not really shared. So the data never flow through different companies when they collaborate. And that's the original idea that we wanted to build process across the different companies within the retail industry. And eventually it became Shorefront, and then we are now focused on PLM, product lifecycle management. Personally, my background is I have a mix of engineering, retail, and technology. Engineering, I got my PhD from Caltech in earthquake-related, seismology-related field. And then on the retail, I told you about my involvement with the home furnishing, dealing with major retailers, suppliers, overseas factories. And then on technology is that I used to do a lot of programming myself. Also had early stage founded engineering service companies manufacturing seismic instruments and writing codes myself. So those were the foundation to found Shorefront.
Okay, that's a very interesting background. And that is a testament of what you study doesn't always end up what you will do. So, but the engineering experience and the problem-solving mindset that engineers have is definitely helpful for business.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, I call that a bifurcation. Yeah, career-wise, you don't know what you're going to do next. Yeah, and we're happy to take on the challenge, take on personal challenge, put resources to solve our own problems. And also hopefully for the industry.
Right. Which is really, that's probably one of the most impactful ways to start a company is to really to know the problem personally. So, and as a owner of an e-commerce, company and in the home furnishings, I think that's a perfect place to really understand the challenges of running that business. So I think that's a lot better than a consultant that thinks they know an idea and they want to build something, but never having run an e-commerce company themselves. So you definitely have a have a strategic advantage on that end. I like that. So, well, let's talk about Shorefront. And I mean, you mentioned it's PLM. I guess one of the questions that I have myself is, you know, I've heard of PLM, product lifecycle management, and PIM, product information management. What's the difference? Are these the same? Are they different? If they're different, what's the difference?
That's a typical question. Thank you for asking that. First of all, let's clear the definition a little bit. You know, PLM is product lifecycle management. PIM is product information management. And then there's other very similar jargon like PDM, product data management. They're very related, but they're also different. For example, PLM, lifecycle management, is talking about a product's lifecycle starting from being designed until it's a finished goods. So the journey of a concept to finished, typically physical product, and then that evolve data and workflow processes. So the software is to automate the workflow processes and streamline the data flow. So that's really what PLM is. PIM, information management, relatively is narrow because it's really talking about product data. But data, you know, including the product information, first of all, you know, lens, width, and height, you know, the attributes of the product, also including digital asset of the product, like images, videos, you know, different type of specs. And also, it can include more than that. It could include the history of the product information, the version control, you know, what well we design, even the finished product, we know the dimension, but what was the history before in the early version. So the information is a part of the PLM. And product information management, or PIM, becoming a bigger topic, especially with the birth of and the development of e-commerce, because e-commerce company, or you call e-commerce supplier, e-commerce retailers, their primary way of selling is online, is to streamline their product information, to publish it or syndicate product information to various channels, or we call websites, right? So they don't really, do the sell, you know, like traditional brick and mortar retailers. So they really use information to control the inventory, product specs, you know, one source of truth for their commerce. So that's a different focus versus really manufacturing industry, supply chain industry, you know, design product from start to finish.
Okay.
And also there's extensive, you know, blogs. We have many blogs talking on the topic, and also lots of blogs, you know, discussing the interesting topic.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, we'll have the website and also maybe a link to this this article in the notes for the show when it's published on the website. That's a good, I think, differentiation. It clarifies. So PLM is a much wider, larger topic than PIM. And, you know, PIM, product information management, is a part of the life cycle. So let's talk about the different type of services that Shorefront provides its customers. Like, when a company, you know, signs up, what are some of the typical things, how different ways that you actually work with them to help?
Good question. Yeah, that has to do with use cases. The typical use case within the retail industry, you know, retail industry has two parts of it. One is the B2C industry, you know, business to consumers, meaning retailers selling to consumers, or consumers purchase from retailers. The other side, which a typical consumer wouldn't see, but also an integral part of the retail industry, we call the B2B retail industry, is between the retailer and their suppliers. You know, retailers by definition buy in bulk from supplier at lower prices and then sell in pieces to consumers one at a time. So, but when they purchase goods from supplier, that is the B2B portion of it. That's where Surefront, you know, comes in to provide a collaboration platform for suppliers to showcase their product to retailers, for retailers to preview, select, and then negotiate and together co-develop newer product for the retail, you know, industry for the next season. The B2B industry are fundamentally different from B2C in one aspect, is that none of the product in the B2B space typically were produced when the purchase happened. Because it's such a large quantity. You wouldn't produce a million pieces for Walmart, you know, until you got the purchase order, they're gonna buy it, right? And also Walmart won't typically purchase large retailer, you know, they wouldn't purchase any product as it is because they want to avoid competition, you know, so that they can only compete on price. So they have to innovate and tailor the product. So that's why the PLM comes in, is that the two sides iteratively, you know, work on the product so that they have some differentiation. And then the end of the process is a transaction, it's the B2B, we call the purchase order, and then the factory and supplier will start to manufacture. So those processes combined with the data portion of it, like the product information, holistically combined would be the PLM process, which is what Surefront offers.
Okay, if we were to take a look at an example, which you know, I think recently you had mentioned in some of your news, is a I guess a company called Bubble Bar that you started working with. Let's talk a little bit more about how you're working with Bubble Bar.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, Bubble Bar is a New York-based supplier, or you call it e-commerce retailer. It's a high flyer, a very important brand name, the new fashion brand. They manufacture and retail, you know, fashion accessories such as jewelry, etc., and gift. They also sell offline to large retailers such as Target. So you can find their product in Target as well. So they have a relatively large design team, you know, dozens of people, and also lots of overseas suppliers, factories. So their dilemma without a system is for that many people internally, dozens of people collaborate with dozens or even hundreds of more factories overseas, how they streamline, you know, that process. You know, every year they would develop probably thousands or, you know, 10,000 products. So lots of things going on every day. So how to manage that process? That's why we had a conversation with, you know, Bubble Bar, you know, actually a very interesting company and history, you know, founded by a 2 Harvard graduate. The solution is really using Surefront to streamline the communication, workflow, data management between their design team and the factory. And also as a next step, you know, the data and the product information can flow to their sales team so they can put on their e-commerce channel in a very customized format to each different website. And also the data would flow to their traditional brick and mortar retailer such as Target.
Okay, so are you mostly working on their B2B side?
Yes. We are solely work on the B2B side.
Okay. And I think I've actually seen a similar, one of my friends has a company that does this in the jewelry business, but they work with independent designers or jewelry designers and then display their catalog on their customer's website. So they also handle the front end side of it. But you're only focused on the back end, really the B2B side of the operation.
Well, let me explain a little more. I guess, you know, B2B is a vast space. So the B2B side actually has two portions. One is the design, or you call the buy function, because you say Bubble Bar, they work with overseas factories or even domestic suppliers, right? And so what they do is to design and eventually buy those merchandise, right? So the purpose of design is to acquire. However, after you acquire the merchandise, you have to sell it, right? So there's a buy and then sell function. They have to sell it, whether online directly to consumers or offline, you know, wholesale to major retailers such as Target, and then Target resell. So there's two portions for any company typically, because no company does only buy or sell solely. They usually doing both. So that's the process also specialized by Surefront. You can say, it depends on who you deal with. When you deal with a large factory, of course, it's a large enterprise, you know, with a complex organization hierarchy. And also you could buy from individual, artisans who manufacture, a branded, specialized jewelry accessory. Yeah, but that's a, extreme use case of a business. It's still a business, right?
Right. Let's talk a little bit more about the actual, product. I see that there is something called the PLM dashboard that you provide. And is this dashboard where customers actually configure what they want? Like Target uses this dashboard to make orders from Bubble Bar?
The dashboard we provide is, I think what you meant is the workflow management portal. That is the portal to showcase here are each of the projects and underneath each of the projects, what are the product within the projects, and then the status of each product within their life cycle. So it's you can imagine that's like a rectangle page for people who have not seen it. And vertically would be the list of each of the product within the project, and horizontally will be each what we call the swimming lane of each of the processes, right? So it could be starting from the concept design, sharing, color, we call the trend board, until the first round of sample, and then next fitting, and then testing, right? And the manufacturing, and during the manufacturing, there could be 20% pre-production inspection, 80% final inspection, and then shipment, and then delivery, and so on. So each of the processes during the life cycle of the product. So Surefront is able to integrate all those processes and streamline it, and so they give you the dashboard to view the status of the life cycle.
Okay. Another way to look at the actual functions and the features that the product provides is when I look at the pricing page on the website. First of all, kudos to you for actually making your pricing transparent. So that's a unique thing in the enterprise space, especially. Now, the way that your system is set up, is it like a software as a service model, SaaS?
Yes, correct, yeah. Surefront is a web-based application and utilized from a browser like a Chrome. So it is definitely software as a service. It's in the cloud, accessible 24/7, anywhere, anytime, and we already have users around the world. And they use it, at all hours.
Okay. So the way the pricing is that it's per user per month. What would be a user that uses the Surefront system? It's not everybody in the company, of course, right? So there's specific people that use it?
Good question. Typically, the users are from two sides. One is the from the buy side. The other one, the counterpart, would be from the sell side. And the buy side people are typically product design people. We call the PD, product developers, and their merchandising people, or you call the buying people. So that's typically from the buy side. And the selling side, it would be more from the factory supplier side, would be more the sales and also their internal product development professionals.
Okay. So the buy side is actually interesting. So let's say, for example, you know, again, we talk about Target as really the buy side, correct? Because Target only purchases. So Target can actually become a customer of Surefront. And then how would they actually use Surefront?
Target buyer would be able to receive product offer from their suppliers, such as Bubble Bar, directly through Surefront. And then they are able to actually see it, visualize, you know, the product offer much better than traditional way, which is the current way by email and then attachment, because every company would send attachment in their own format. And the target buyer has to, you know, data entry and analyze each of the different spreadsheets. In Surefront, these are all standard format and far more, you know, user-friendly and visually pleasing. So they can really compare prices. And then after that, there's also the workflow we build for the buyer of Target to negotiate prices, request samples, ask questions. All of those communications, along with the product data, were saved in Surefront. So all the history of the conversation, and that is very valuable to retailers, because when the buyer changed position, the successor can inherit everything about the product, knowing the whole history, the whole life cycle of the product. It stays with the product at all time, very easily accessible.
Okay.
And the same benefit goes to suppliers as well, because it's much easier for them to offer any product with a couple button clicks. You know, they can send a product offer, you know, to a retailer or to a different one, you know, to select two of them in one button click, you know, two multiple retailer would receive, you know, product offers. And also we build the inherent internal preparatory chat system, you know, more like a Slack. So the both sides can really real time, you know, chatting about the product attributes, discussing, you know, pricing, negotiate product much faster. And all those communication replacing emails, which are, you know, hard to find, you know, when you have your mailbox full.
Yeah, definitely. So in that relationship where you have Bubble Bar on one side and let's say Target on the other side, do both of them actually sign up for Surefront, or does only one of them being a customer is enough?
That's a very good question. We're flexible enough. Surefront would work as least one party signs up. So Bubble Bar signs up Surefront, Target can sign up Surefront to use full features, full functions, but if they don't sign up, they still can use Surefront without signing in to collaborate with, you know, Bubble Bar.
Okay.
So that one, we have some preparatory technology. As long as the messages from Bubble Bar, Target, you know, can receive and respond.
Okay, but to get the full functionality and the benefit, it is best that Target also is a customer.
Right. Then the benefit, obviously, is that Target can use Surefront to deal with many of other suppliers. Right. So without signing in, they can only work with, you know, Bubble Bar, whoever using Surefront. But if they do sign up, then they can use Surefront to deal with any of their suppliers other than Bubble Bar.
Okay. So I'm looking at some of the features which are very interesting. So you have a smart catalog, virtual showroom, quotes and negotiation, purchase order management, real-time chat, team chat. I mean, these are not insignificant features. Each one of them is very complex. And it's very interesting that you have all of these available in, even as the base account type. It's very good, I think.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, we spent quite a few years building the platform. You know, we wrote nearly 2 million lines of code. So that's why we build a lot of the native application ourselves. You know, our vision is really to build we call the unified collaboration, because if we don't have all the tools and bells and whistles available, I mean, you integrate using parts and pieces, the system will never be robust. The information will never be in one place, right? You use different solutions, then the data would be everywhere, right?
So yeah.
When you want to find the product information, the product lifecycle, then you have to go to many different places. That's exactly the problem we have. So to solve that, you have to build one application to provide the unified collaboration. So it is a pretty daunting task, but we've done the dirty work, done the hard work, and now Surefront, has all those features we're very proud of.
Right, yeah. So one question that I have is that, building the first version of a feature is one part of the work, and then maintaining it and improving it is another one. So, and doing all of these things for a company can get pretty heavy. Do you work with third-party partners to integrate, for example, from APIs like of other companies? Let's say, for example, like Shopify on the e-commerce side, Slack on the chat side, or do you want to own everything yourself?
We want it, but we couldn't. Yeah, no one can in this current world, be standalone. So the connectivity or compatibility is a key. And for that, the current web technology, it's pretty easy to build, different type of API. So we can synchronize Surefront data to different platform, whether it's e-commerce or it's ERP or even others, PIM solution, digital asset management, using API, in a real-time automation or semi-automation or customized download. So we invested a lot of resources building those connectivities.
Okay, so let's say if a customer says, I want to use Surefront, but my team is already on Slack. Can I integrate Slack into Surefront? And I think for that, I've done it before once, is that I guess Surefront would have to build a Slack app, or what, I don't know what they call it, and add it to the Slack marketplace app store or app marketplace, and then customers can actually download it. And that data becomes like a real life interaction between Surefront and Slack at that point.
That's a very good question and use case. Slack and Google Chat, all those chat platforms are definitely far more effective and direct than traditional emails. So it's becoming a gradually a standard norm as part of our communication protocols. So that's the reason that we decided to actually build native chat function just like Slack. Why we build native function like Slack is that if you purely use Slack or Google Chat, the conversation is not object-oriented, we call it. It's not contextual to the specific product that you're talking about. For example, say Darius, if we were buy and sell party discussing a blue sofa, right? It's functionality, it's leather, or different material and size and pricing and delivery. Those conversations should tie to that sofa, right? If we were to have that discussion on a common and generic platform like Slack, our conversation will not tie to the specific sofa. So later on, when we try to find our conversation and negotiation about this blue sofa we're trying to buy and sell, how do we find them? That's exactly the problem we used to have, in emails. It buried in many of different threads. Very hard to find all those information. So we build a native, chat function that you can click on that blue sofa we're talking about, and then you see all the conversation and only those conversation relevant to the blue sofa. So we call that object-oriented because the object is the blue sofa and also very contextual. So it is also a very good question to talk about integration with a different platform such as Slack. It is definitely on our roadmap that to synchronize our conversation within Surefront to Slack. So if you use Slack, you should be able to see some of the conversation that we had using Surefront. So, but we want to build, still the we call contextual object-oriented communications. Did I explain in this regard?
Yeah, you, that definitely makes sense. I mean, that's one of the benefits of using a product like Surefront, is that all the information related to that object can be easily seen in one place. It's like, you know, that the profile of that object is all available in one place, and you don't have to go searching and hunting in different places of something that's related to it. So I definitely understand that. I think there is, so what the example that I said for my own company, you know, we have a different product, which is a task management software. And So we manage the task side, but we built a Slack app actually that customers can install. And it does actually, there are ways to even make it related to individual tasks, which would be the object in our case. So, and I mean, that's the other thing, is that these companies, they're constantly improving and evolving their APIs. So, so that's why I think, I guess I bring that up because it's a part of my life, is that we have a team that only is focused on integrations, partner integrations. And it's just that their task is to stay up to date with different partner integrations, investigate new partner integrations. I mean, that's really the future of software, is because, like you said, we want to have all of these features, but it's just not possible. Nobody can provide the best, the most robust, you know, features for everything.
Yeah, I totally agree with your assessment on that. Definitely compatibility and producing one source of truth for the industry by integrating and compatible with other applications, that's the key. Because any enterprise use only one application, right? The data gotta flow elsewhere into other necessary parts. So how to build application, able to retrieve those information, publish those information, gather those information, that's really the technical challenge.
That's the fun part of the work, right?
Yes.
As an engineer, I know that's what you strive for solving these issues. I'm an engineer myself too, so.
Very good to know, yeah.
Yeah, I'm a mechanical engineer. So. I minored in computer science, and I did database development, but not actual coding. So, but I'm an architect, you know. So I consider myself an enterprise architect. So solution architect. So let's talk a little bit about the like how you're building the company. I'm also really interested to learn about that. Would you consider yourself more a technology company, or really like the PLM company? I mean, how do you think about Surefront?
I might have lost connections slightly. Could you just repeat the last part of the question?
Oh yeah. Sorry. So when you think about Surefront, do you think of Surefront as a technology company, or do you think of it as a company that provides these solutions in for retailers, for example, for product managing their product lifecycle, and the technology is really how you do it?
Well, at the core, we're definitely a technology company. We, you know, very focused on development, innovation. We also own a large cluster of patent of multi-enterprise, multi-hierarchy collaborations. So the core definitely is technology, but to be successful in the marketplace, we also have to provide services, you know, customer want it. I would say a combination, but the foundation definitely would be technology. Otherwise, we would become a third-party consultant.
Right. Yeah. Okay. That's a good way to put it. Definitely. I mean, even for retailers, the reason I ask this is that retailers used to think that they just sell products, but really retailers are becoming technology companies to survive.
Yeah. Nowadays, with the boom of e-commerce started some 20 years ago, the retail industry experienced a very dramatic change. And I think every industry players within the sector knows that technology is the best competitive edge.
Yeah, that is the competitive edge, one of the major competitive edges right now. So as an engineer and somebody that does development, what are your thoughts about the role of product managers in technology companies? That's more of a newer role, right? And you probably have hired some product managers in your company.
That's correct. Yeah, it's actually funny that we build a product lifecycle management for customers, but internally, you know, our product is not a physical one, it's a software application. So we have our own product lifecycle managers. Yes, so that team actually has more than one person. So it's a team, including the product managers, including also the UI UX teams, design and the manager as well. So their job and their task is to really look at the functionality from the customer request. You know, so what are the user requests? What are the use cases? What are the user stories? And then what are the ways, Surefront actually can develop an application to solve that? And then we have to prioritize, what are the problems we're going to solve, and then to figure out which one we have to solve first and second and third. And those type of roadmap meeting, which we're going to have actually later today, every other week, it's very interesting because many times you have to pivot, you have to switch based on whatever you hear from the customer. Right. When you don't have customer, you decide yourself based on your best knowledge. But when they're customer, when the sales team, hear this and that from the customer, their feature request is that, then we have to prioritize some of the,
Oops. I think we lost Luke. Let's see if he comes back into the room. Oh, there you are. You are on mute. Luke, can you hear me? Hello?
Hey, Darius.
Hey, okay, you're back.
I wonder if I was cut off somehow. I don't know where, but I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, it's fine. The app sometimes does this. It's okay. No, we were talking about the role of product managers.
Right. Where did you lose me? Should I start from the beginning again?
No. Let's just talk about... So we talked about the role of product managers and actually, talking about the roadmap, your own internal roadmap and building the software. Maybe what we can talk about is, so when I look at the price page on the website, and this is like one of the things that product managers are responsible for, is for example, the performance of the website and the onboarding process, for example. I can see that when I pick one of the products, it wants me to watch a demo. So can I actually sign up and pay and sign up, or I have to go through, watch the demo and then contact somebody to sign up?
There is a new sign up function that we're building and going to be released right away, probably in a week or two. So for the self sign up. So that's usually for relatively smaller companies. We call the team account under 10 users or dozen users. Because Surefront is a very enterprise solution, so needs a team to fulfill the full functionality. So typically we would provide some onboarding experience. So, but for the smaller team, if the customer, chose to, they're tech savvy, they could actually do it themselves just to go to the website and register and then pay for, the service per month. But for larger companies, there has to be training, onboarding, data migration, change management. So it could be a couple weeks process. So we provide that service part as well.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I mean, that's one of the new processes in product management and SaaS you know, business is what's called product-led growth. I'm sure you know about it, and it's basically letting customers and the product actually increase growth and bring in new customers in a more self-service way. So that's what I was wondering is so it looks like you're ready to launch that part of it so that people can sign up by themselves if they're a smaller company.
Yes. Yeah, we definitely a believer, and also I will say the recipient of the benefit of the product-led growth. For example, one of the highly requested feature nowadays is the workflow feature. We did not actually have that on our roadmap ourselves, but then when customers repeatedly request that, we realized the importance of that feature and they started to build it. And then once we release it, you know, every customer, you know, prospective one and the current one, all loved it. So so that's a typical example in our case, a product-led, you know, customer-driven growth.
Absolutely. Now, okay, so I don't know if anybody has any questions in the audience. You can raise your hand if you want to ask Luke any questions. I'll continue. So if you look ahead, let's say 5 years, you know, and in this business, 5 years is like a lifetime. But let's see if we can get some kind of a projection. What do you think is some of the major ways that the PLM sector is going to enhance and improve in the next 5 years?
We actually think about that, you know, quite frequently. That has to do, again, with the roadmap in the longer term. Our vision for the longer term is that the PLM industry, or we call the next generation of PLM, will be more with more connectivities. Typically, even the current days, the PLM is we call the one-to-many relationship. One PLM company using it, right? I, as a retailer supplier using the PLM solution, I can deal with many of my suppliers who design the product for me. So we call the one-to-many. But it doesn't work well reversely. Each of the supplier who use PLM to providing quotation samples with me cannot use the same solution to deal with anyone else. I give a fictitious example. Say Target use PLM, for example, whatever PLM that is, and deal with supplier A. But that supplier A cannot use the same PLM solution to deal with Walmart if they sell to Walmart as well. So those solutions, I would call the one-to-many solution, one-to-many supplier, but it doesn't go back to many-to-many. So that's one, why Surefront is different, is to provide the true Legoland. Anyone can use Surefront to deal with anyone else, whether they are your upstream or your downstream, whether you buy from them or you sell to them. So that's one thing that we see the next generation.
Okay. What about some of the, so I'll ask this, and I think the answer for most people is yes, but it depends on what it means. So how do you use AI or some form of it or machine learning in somewhere in the software, and how, if you can share?
At the present time, just for clarity, there's no AI element within Surefront yet. But it is definitely on the roadmap. We actually, for that purpose, sponsored a major university for their research in AI. We will definitely put it on Surefront in the coming years, as soon as we have more data. Because in the retail industry, there's tremendous amount of sales and revenue and product. And what's doing well, it's the reorder is purely based on historical sales information. So how to analyze the point of sales or historical sales information is actually the product-led growth for retailers, right? You want to repeat your success and avoid your failures. But how do you know success and failures? How do you read in real time? AI would be a big help for that.
Okay.
So to look through the POS and PO, the purchase order, the two big set of transaction data, the factual data, right? Because transaction is the most factual data. And then to use that to help you to make informed decisions, right? Using AI technology definitely is one thing that we're going to develop in the coming years.
Okay, so that's almost like product recommendations, right? You purchased product X last month, and you can even come up with a pattern that if this company is ordering X or 200 units of product X every month, you can pretty much detect that at the end of the month, you can send them a reminder that it's time to renew your order for next month, right? Something like that?
Yes, exactly. In the retail, there's a jargon for that. That's called assortment planning, assortment optimization. It's to look at your current product assortment and find the winners and also at the same time the losers. So you have to do both things. It's to maximize the profit from the winners. Second is to cut the losers, right? So it's a recommendation of both. You know, recommend the winner and also recommend to cut the losers, doing both.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I can definitely see, massive potential still to be built in this space. So, well, thank you so much, Luke. It's been a pleasure, talking and speaking with you and actually learning about your business. Very interesting business.
Thank you. Likewise.
Best of luck, and hopefully we'll see you again when you IPO on the Nasdaq.
All right, we look forward to that day.
All right, we'll cheers to that for that day. Have a wonderful day, Luke.
All right.
Take care.
Thank you.
Thanks
for having me again.
Sure. I'm going to end the room now. Bye-bye.